everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. The podcast that's number one with dowagers. That's a statistic we're all very proud of around here. This week on the show, A Man for All Seasons. Which reminds me of a wardrobe that I would love to find living in Chicago. It might be 35 degrees in the morning and 70 in the afternoon. But that's the impossible dream, and I'll worry about that after the music ends. Speaking of A Man for All Seasons, which is, of course, the reason we're all here, right? This is the story of Sir Thomas More, or to some people, Saint Sir Thomas More, because in real life he was later sainted or beatified or however you want to describe it. He became a saint in the Catholic Church, and he also became a saint in the Anglican Church, which he probably would have found kind of strange. But we'll get to that in a moment. Sir Thomas had the misfortune of being a good friend of Henry VIII. And he had a certain amount of political power, and this is all real. He was a real guy, and the story is based on this real guy in history. He had a certain amount of political power, and he became Chancellor of England, and he unfortunately disagreed with Henry VIII on a couple of issues. And when you disagree with the king, especially a king like Henry VIII, that's not necessarily a good thing. He's Henry VIII was probably the kind of a guy who's looking more for a yes man, I'm thinking. He wanted a more sycophantic kind of backup team, and he didn't get it in Thomas More. So if you know anything about history, Henry VIII split the church in England from the Roman Catholic Church. This is one of the splits that happened over time, and there were probably a number of reasons for it in real life, but the primary one that everybody always blames it on, the primary one in this movie, is that he wanted his marriage annulled, and he contacted the Pope and said, "Pope, I'd like the marriage annulled, because I want to go marry somebody else." The Pope wasn't going to play ball with that. Pope was not interested in helping Henry out. So Henry said, "Fine, I'm splitting the church off, and I'm the head of the church now, and I'll annul my own marriage if I have to." Very efficient approach to the matter. But unfortunately, Thomas More, the guy who the movie's about, he disagreed with that. He was strongly in favor of Henry being king, and Thomas More was, if we were playing Dungeons and Dragons, and heaven knows I would never engage in such activity, but if we were, he would be referred to as lawful good. This would be his alignment, and what that means is that he would follow the rules pretty much all the time. And he followed the rules of the Catholic Church, which was the Pope said, "You don't get an annulment, you don't get an annulment. Sorry, dude, I don't care that you're the king." Well, Henry is a little upset about that, and he wants Thomas to play along, because Thomas is the chancellor and everybody knows that he's a friend of the king's. But Thomas decides that his best of course of action is not to challenge it publicly, because, you know, Henry's the king and whatnot, and he doesn't want to, again, lawful type dude, he doesn't want to go against the king. So he resigns his position, and he says, "I'm just going to shut up and go about my business and leave everybody alone, and I don't need to put my neck out there, and everything will be fine, and they'll leave me alone." Well, he's kind of right, because he, you know, they don't really have anything they can charge him with, per se, and believe me, they try. They bring him into court, they throw him into prison, they try a lot of bad things on him, but they don't really have anything to charge him with. But, you know, Henry, until... see, the thing is that Henry decides that Thomas More needs to come out. Probably nobody really cared what Thomas More thought. At least the average peasant on the street, let's face it, didn't really care what this guy thought. He's a politician, whatever. We've heard from him. We haven't heard from him. I got bigger things to worry about. I'm trying to put food on the table. Okay. But Henry being the king, he's got nothing else to think about except how much Thomas More has, dissed him effectively. That's what he's thinking about. And so he throws every type of pressure that he can think of. Well, actually his minions do that because of course the king wouldn't get his hands dirty. They throw every type of pressure they can at Thomas More and he will not give in. And you gotta appreciate that. You know, whether you agree with Thomas More's stance or not, he stood for what he believed in, and this is based on a true story. Now, the story in the movie, some things are condensed, they're rearranged, some guys who are bad guys are maybe made to look worse than they probably were in real life. You got to simplify it. We don't try and get our historical facts from movies, okay? That's a good rule of thumb. If we do that, we'll suddenly start thinking that Shoeless Joe Jackson was right-handed. But the basic plot is what happened. They came down hard on this guy, and if you think it's going to have a happy ending, well, let's just say that it's not a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. So it's a little dark, but it's powerful, and it's moving, and it's interesting, and you really got to like Henry. I guess you got to like the portrayal of Henry, which is pretty good. But you really got to like Thomas More, the guy who plays him, Paul Scofield. Great job. Very dignified, very moving. Lots of, there's depth to the character, his family, the people around him. Very, very well done, I thought. Some good lines in there, but really just a movie that really sucks you in. It totally held my attention. One thing of note, Orson Welles is in this film as a cardinal, and he dies off pretty early on, so it's kind of a small role, but almost totally unrecognizable. I didn't even know that it was Orson Welles. I knew Orson Welles was in the movie, and I'm like, halfway through the movie, I'm thinking, wow, it's weird, I haven't seen Orson Welles yet. Well, it turned out I had. So, and he's, as any great actor, he's willing to make himself not look too good. And when I say not look too good, I mean, when he's on the screen looking back at this guy, he looks like death warmed over. He does not look like the dignified guy who played Citizen Kane. He looks like somebody who has just been, battered, and, he's in charge of things and he's got a lot of power, but he's lived a rough, crazy life. So kudos to Orson for that. Underrated guy. He always kind of got messed around by Hollywood, but he always did cool things with his little with what he was given to work with. So this film, I'm giving it a buy it. You could probably sense that coming. It's definitely worth watching. It's definitely worth watching more than once. And in fact, I may go out and buy it pretty soon myself. Because, I got it from the library, but I'm not going to steal it. I'll just go, to Amazon or one of those things and order it for my very own. Next week is In the Heat of the Night. And I'm really looking forward to this one. This is one when I kind of checked out the best picture list a year ago. And start thinking about doing this. This is one that I've never seen, and I've always kind of wanted to. So I'm intrigued by that. It's got the whole racism angle. It's kind of a dark Southern feel, I think. And I'm looking forward to checking this one out. Until next week, I am Peter Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, and it is a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Feel free to check out BigNoisyBug.com and see what else we got there. We got the Chica Walker Show. We got a few other things going on and maybe some new things coming up. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to give anything away. But check it out. Have a good week, everybody.